The word of the Lord, which we set our hearts to this evening, is taken from Isaiah chapter 9. These words were words that we already spoke responsively. So if you want to follow along with it, it's in the beginning part of your service folder, I think page 4 and 5. I won't reread those words right now, but if you want to reference them, feel free to turn back to those pages in the service folder. So Christmas, one of the first signs of Christmas that we see is the appearance of lights all over the place. Right, lights that go on outside, they go on your lawns and on your homes, they go on your trees inside. One of my favorite sights is going down in Eagan, just off of Pilot Knob and Yankee Doodle, that shopping center. They do a fantastic job of putting up lights. I love driving by there in the evening when those lights are up. It just looks beautiful. And maybe you have your own favorite spots to go to, homes to see, neighborhoods where the lights just are put on display. Lights are a beautiful sight. And without lights, well, we would be in the dark. Well, thank you, Pastor Obvious. Right, it's quite obvious we need lights for this world. Otherwise, we would be in the dark, okay? Right. But as we take a look at Isaiah chapter 9, we see this prophet and God himself talk to us quite a bit about darkness and light. And these words, they have such deep meaning as we look at them and as we focus on them. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to focus especially on these themes and these ideas of darkness and light as Isaiah speaks to us from God himself. So we're going to look at those verses. Verses 2 through 7 of Isaiah 9. And there's three things we're going to look at as we ponder these words. We're going to look at the problem of darkness, first off. We're going to look at our failed attempts at light. And then finally, we're going to look at a dawning of true light. So, the problem of darkness, our failed attempts at light, and then the dawning of the true light. So let's start out with just the problem of darkness. As we look at our text, as you look at Isaiah 9, Isaiah says this. He says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. All right, I've got this. I just forgot my clicker. So the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Isaiah is telling us that the people in his time, there was a very serious problem with darkness. And he's not saying that, you know, there was some sort of light shortage. He's not saying that the sun stopped shining or the stars, they fell from the sky. No, he's actually referring to something much more important. This word light and darkness, they often have very symbolic meanings. And in the Bible, darkness often refers to one of two things. Darkness can often refer to ignorance or a lack of faith, or it can also refer to wickedness. So that's what darkness means in the Bible. And we actually use the term the same way in English, right? So when we're referencing ignorance or even someone who knows a lot, we call them bright, right? Little Johnny, he's so bright, right? And I didn't always understand. I didn't get that for quite some time, which is why they said little Zach is so dim, right? Not all the lights are on upstairs, right? So light, it often refers to knowing something, being aware of something. And darkness often refers to ignorance, not knowing something, not believing in something. But darkness, it also refers to wickedness as well. During the time of Isaiah and the time of Jesus, there is a reason why they could say that the world was filled with darkness. Just in Isaiah and Jesus' time alone, they wrote about darkness because at those times there were countless examples of violence and injustice and war and abuse of power and homelessness and refugees seeking safety. That was what was going on in Isaiah's time, in Jesus' time, and it sounds quite a bit like our time too, doesn't it? Just a few examples of the darkness that we see in our world as well today, 2,000 years removed from Jesus, 2,700 years removed from Isaiah. In 2010, there were roughly 40 million people who had been forcibly displaced from their homeland. 10 years later, in 2020, you think we'd have figured it out, right? We'd have made it all better, right? No, twice as many, nearly 80 million people in this year alone are forcibly displaced from their homeland. Or one other example, in 2020, the United States alone, a little closer to home, in the United States alone, How many cases were there of human trafficking? Well, I can't see it. All right, I should have looked this one over. Okay, it's over 10,000. 10,000 cases in the United States alone of human trafficking. And that's just the reported cases. Right, how many more went unnoticed and unreported? Okay, Pastor, it's 2020. We get it. There's darkness out there. We don't need to be reminded. Not this year. Right. That's what we see, though, when we look out into the world. We see the same kind of darkness that Isaiah and Jesus were battling as they were in the world as well. The world in which we live, it is a dark place. And so what we need is light. You and I, we need a solution to the darkness. We need light. We hear about that at times, and we hear about stories of people making sacrifices and bringing their light into this world. We see so many examples of that, especially this time of year. We see so many examples in stories or even articles, op-ed pieces in the newspaper. We see all of those, right? I think I just read one, I think it was in the Pioneer Press, where there was this group of people who they donated their time. They spent so much energy, and they gathered a whole bunch of gifts for people who were in need. And stories like that, they're meant to warm your heart, to remind you that there still is some light in this world, right? You see those stories, you hear the beautiful music on the radio at church, you see the lights going up all around, you see the beauty, and what are those things meant to do? They're meant to give you the spirit of Christmas, the spirit of joy and happiness. They're meant to give you that spirit. But I am here to tell you that that is not what Isaiah says the true meaning of Christmas is. Right? You've probably had 1,000 people tell you what the true meaning of Christmas is. So here I am, the 1,001st person reminding you and telling you what the true meaning of Christmas is. But why don't we just take a look at what God says, what the scriptures say, what Isaiah tells us the true meaning of Christmas really is, as he's inspired by God himself. And Isaiah says that Christmas has no meaning at all if you don't first start out with the point that there is darkness in this world. There's no need for light if there isn't first off darkness. And that's what Isaiah says we see as we look into the world. We see darkness, we see wickedness. And so we need light. There's this problem of darkness, and we need light in this world. So how do we get that light? Where do we turn to find light in this sin-darkened world? Well, what are our attempts? We do try. We try to bring light into this world. Well, let's first off look and see what happened to the Israelites, where they turned to find light in this darkened world. Just before our text, at the end of Isaiah chapter 8, I'm sorry it's not in your folders, but just before Isaiah 9, this is what Isaiah writes, just towards the end of Isaiah chapter 8. He says, "Then they," he's referring to the Israelites, he says, "they are going to look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they'll be thrust into utter darkness." Where are they turning to try and find light? They're looking for the solution to the darkness in this world. They're looking to the world, right? They're looking towards the earth. They're looking for a solution to the darkness in earth, to the people who are here in earth. Just a few verses before Isaiah 8:22, it says that the Israelites specifically, what they did was that they looked towards the mediums, to the spiritualists. Right? That's the people that they turned to try and find some light in this sin-darkened world. In other words, there was darkness in this earth, and the Israelites tried to look for a solution to the people of earth, and they couldn't find it. The only thing they saw was more darkness. You know, you fast forward and you look to what Jesus says or what Paul writes about. He says that people didn't really figure it out then either. He said that the Greeks, what did they do? They looked to wisdom. They looked to try and find some sort of wisdom to solve the problem of darkness. And the Jewish people, they looked to power. They tried to find some sort of power to solve the problem of darkness. In other words, The Greeks, they were saying that there's all kinds of bad ideas out there on how to solve the problem of darkness. And really, those bad ideas, they're the real darkness in this world. And so what we need is some perfect idea, some form of wisdom. They were looking to philosophers, all the wise men of this world, to solve the problem of darkness because there were so many bad ideas, dark ideas out there. And the Jewish people, they looked to power. right? They saw all these terrible rulers and leaders, and they said, they're the real problem, and so we need to find a true leader, a powerful ruler, just a really good one who's going to solve the problem of darkness. That will be the solution. When you think about it, we do a very similar thing as well, don't we? We tend to cast blame on what the real problem and the real darkness is in this world. Pastor, the real problem in this world, the real darkness is them. Right? They are the real problem in this world. And now you can just throw in your own answer to they. Right? We all have an idea. We all think we know who they are and who the real problem is in this world. We all try to come up with an idea, a solution to solve that problem, right? And it's not too different from the Greeks, and it's not too different from the Jewish people, right? We can fill in the blank. They are the problem. The rich people in this world, they are the real problem. The politicians, they are the real problem in this world. Or maybe it's not people. Maybe it's an idea. Socialism, capitalism, those are the real problems in this world. They're the real darkness that we see. We all have an idea of what the real darkness is, and we fill in that blank, and then what do? We make them the bad guys. And as we do that, all we're doing is making the problem of darkness even worse. Right? As we do that, have we really learned from from history, from the Greeks and from the Jewish people? Have we really learned that even though they tried to do that, they tried to look for wisdom, they tried to look for a certain idea or philosophy to solve the darkness of this world, 2,000 years removed, there's still darkness in this world. We still see problems. We still see wickedness. It hasn't been fixed. Ah, but we can, right? We can fix it. As I mentioned earlier, darkness in the Bible, it also is a reference to ignorance. Do we really think that we are so strong and we are so wise that we can truly solve the problem of wickedness and sinfulness in this world? We are the problem. We're the ones who bring wickedness and darkness into this world. Do we really think we can solve it? It's kind of like this. Let me use an illustration. When your car breaks down, do you really think that the car is going to just fix itself? Do you just expect the car to just up and fix itself? No, you need something from the outside to come in and fix it. You need a mechanic to come and fix the internal problem. You need an outside resource. And the same thing with if your furnace breaks down, and I hope that has not happened this past day for any of you, right? If a furnace goes out, you need some other source of heat to come in and warm up your house. You can't just expect the car and the furnace to fix themselves. No, they need an outside resource to come in and repair them. And that, friends, is what we need in our world as well. You and I, we are the ones who are the source of darkness. We bring sinfulness, we bring darkness, we bring wickedness into this world. If anything, our attempts to try and fix the darkness of this world has only brought more darkness into this world. We've only found more and creative ways to sin darken this world. Each of us is responsible for the darkness because of the sinfulness in our own hearts. And so, what we need is an outside resource. We need a light to come in to this world from the outside. We need a light to come into our hearts from the outside to bring light into our lives and into this world. As Isaiah says, he says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of deep darkness. A light has dawned." They needed a light to come in from the outside and lighten them. And friends, that is what the Jews need, that's what the Greeks needed, that is what you and I need, and that is why God sent his Son into this world to be that outside light source that came in and lightened our lives and lightened the world. It seems so contradictory to the way that we would have expected God to solve the problem of darkness. It seems so contradictory to the power that we would have looked for, right? The Almighty God who created the universe with just his voice wraps himself in the flesh of a baby who doesn't have the strength to raise his voice. That was how God chose to powerfully solve the problem of darkness in this world. It seems so contradictory. It seems so contradictory to the wisdom that we would look for as well, doesn't it? How does it make sense? Does it make sense that God would solve the darkness of this world by dying? That makes no sense, does it? But it's God's wisdom. And it makes sense in godly wisdom. Because the truth is, if God was going to come into this world and solve the problem of darkness and sinfulness in this world, the only way to eliminate that would be to eliminate us. And so God came into this world and he thought up a different way. The light of the world came into our lives. He came into this world and he took all our darkness on his shoulders. And he bore the guilt for all of our failures. That was what God decided in his wisdom to do. It was the only way that he could save us while still eliminating darkness. And so that's what he did as he went up on the cross. He bore the guilt of all of our darkness, all of our sinfulness. Even though we're the ones who bring darkness into this world, Jesus didn't come and get rid of us. No, he came to save us. And he himself was plunged into outer darkness in our place. That was the way that the light of the world came into our lives to save us. And friends, that is where the real meaning of Christmas is. It starts with the fact that there is darkness in this world. Unfortunately, we often misdiagnose that. We misdiagnose the problems. Now, in ignorance, we think that we know what the real problem is and that we have the real solution to the darkness. But friends in Christ, remember this Christmas. Remember that a Christian is not someone who says, the real problem is out there. No, a real Christian is someone who says, the real problem is in here. I don't need a savior for the outside. I need a savior for my soul. And friends in Christ, rejoice that that is what your savior has done for you. That what God has given to you, he has sent the light of the world into your lives for you. This Christmas, rejoice because you have the solution to darkness in your wonderful counselor, your mighty God, your everlasting Father, your Prince of Peace. He is the only one who has the solution to the darkness in this world. You have a light that has dawned in this world, in the darkness of this world, and you have a light that has dawned on the darkness of your own heart to save you. Rejoice that Christ is your Savior now and always. Amen.